Good morning, everyone. My name's Dave, and welcome to Insights for Health, brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham, where we help you help yourself with your health. Our topic today is healthy weight management, truths, and myths. And joining us is Tammy Strome. Tammy has 18 years experience in the fitness, health, and wellness industry. She's a graduate of the University of Western Ontario with degrees in kinesiology and nutrition. She's a former Canadian figure champion and retired IFBB female bodybuilding pro. Her expertise and passion for holistic health has led to appearances on TV, radio, and magazine articles. Good morning, Tammy, and welcome to Insights for Health.
Good morning, Dave. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, so weight management, a lot of people wrestle with that. There's no easy answer. So, Tammy, let's start off. Maybe you can explain the difference between what overweight would be and what obesity would be.
And that's often a very confusing point for people because we have a tendency to kind of lump it together in one category, and it's kind of nice to know what the defining characteristics are per se. Myself, I tend to go by utilizing body fat percentage to sort of differentiate between, you know, healthy body fat levels, overweight, and when you're moving into obese range of body fat. Not a particularly a big fan of the body mass index just because it's extremely old. It was brought into existence by insurance companies, and one of the challenges with the body mass index or BMI that you might hear your doctor say is that it doesn't differentiate between fat mass, muscle mass, and bone mass. So, you know, and this is particularly more applicable for leaner populations who might have a lot of muscle mass. So sometimes the BMI can be skewed on the high side when they actually are in a healthy body fat level because they have more muscle mass. But when we're looking into their percentages, typically in terms of body fat percentage, when we're moving into the obese category, it's more men that are 25% body fat and up and women that are about 35% body fat and up. Now, there's different stages of obesity, but that's kind of the starting point if you're getting your body fat checked. Now, in terms of healthy body fat levels, we technically look at athletes for women might be ranging from 14 to 20% body fat. Fitness levels for women might be 21 to 24%. Acceptable or normal, I would say more average range, would be 25 to 31%. And then obesity, you're moving into that 32 to 35% and up percentage. With men, it's athletes are going to be more in the 6 to 13% range. For fitness, they're going to be more in the 14 to 17% range. For acceptable, or again, I say average with quotation marks, that would be 18 to 25% range. And then when you're getting into that 25 and up, you're moving into obesity. What's important to also mention as well is when they say acceptable, acceptable is average. I mean, a lot of people do strive to sort of be more in the fitness category, meaning to be a little bit lower. So if they're exercising and aiming to be in sort of healthier body fats, they're sometimes more aiming to fall in between that fitness and acceptable range. But it depends on the person.
We know we're overweight. We want to shed a few pounds, and we just want to feel better. We want to look a little better, you know, get into some of those other clothes. We've just rounded past New Year's. A lot of folks have made a resolution, perhaps. A lot of these resolutions don't succeed, do they?
Yeah, it's a common challenge that, you know, when you embark on this resolution, that the failure rates are quite high. And unfortunately, we see a significant drop-off within the first month, and we see almost a 50% drop-off within 4 to 6 months of setting resolutions, which is why I'm sort of not a big fan of setting resolutions. I'm more a fan of start now. Even if it's not New Year's, just set the goal, set the intention, and have a plan. When we're looking at resolutions, sometimes a lot of the challenges is people just say, you know what, I'm going to lose weight, and they don't have a plan in place. They don't have an idea of where they're starting from and where they're going to. And accountability is another factor. If they're setting their goals and they're kind of embarrassed to share with family and friends about where they're going, we know the failure rates are substantially higher when you don't share what you're working on with other people who can hold you accountable. So that's another thing that sort of leads into why resolutions sometimes don't work out the way we'd like them to.
And a few minutes ago when you were talking about those percentages and the differences between women and men, there's even a different approach that women and men will take, isn't there?
When we're looking at men and women, there are certain fundamental laws when it comes to losing body fat that need to be in existence. But we have to factor in that women have other variables such as higher estrogen levels, you know, and they have the female sex hormones, and the men have testosterone at higher levels than women do, which tends to make it a little bit easier for them to kickstart the fat loss game. However, I will say when it comes down to men and women who are into the overweight and obese category, men in particular, we see declining testosterone levels, especially if they're 35 and up, and we can see a rise in estrogen levels in men. And that can mean that they can be faced with similar challenges to women when it comes to losing fat. But at the core of it, when it comes down to making that needle move and making those changes to body composition, you're looking at those all-important aspects of nutrition, exercise, strategic supplementation, with nutrition being easily 80% of it. I mean, we really are what we eat and what we absorb.
When you and I talked previously, you had actually said the focus should be more on fat loss versus weight loss.
Yeah, and that's a great statement, and I often find myself articulating that difference to people because we use the word weight because as a society we resonate with what weight means, but what I always like to articulate to people is that when we use that word weight, what we're really defining is fat loss. Because, for example, if you're starting onto a weight training program, which I'm a big fan of, if people want to rev up the metabolism, you know, and they want to eventually tighten and tone their body, improve insulin sensitivity, which helps the body burn fat, then they would be wanting to start a weight training program at some point. The benefit of that weight training is they're going to increase lean muscle. And every bit of lean muscle is basically more dense than fat, but it takes up less space. So it weighs more ultimately than body fat does. So somebody losing weight might see the scale go down and go up and go down and go up, but their circumference measurements and body fat percentages would continue to decline if they're tracking those metrics. A lot of people will jump on the scale and use that as the sole barometer. And especially when people are a little, there's sometimes people who are a little bit obsessed with weighing themselves way too often. I mean, your weight can fluctuate 2 to 8 pounds in a day, depending on what's going on and if you're taking anti-inflammatories or if you ate a lot of sodium, or just eating food can make you gain a couple pounds over the course of the day. So definitely focusing on fat and fat loss is more accurate wording than weight loss per se. But the community, as we know, and I'm sure you encounter this in your business, that people understand that weight loss, what that means.
Because the scale is an easy visual, that's what folks rely on.
When we're thinking about body fat assessment, you're looking at seeing somebody who is trained in assessing caliper, so body fat calipers that can tell you body fat percentage. But if someone has an extremely high body fat, so if they're a female that's over that 30% range and a male who's over that 25 range, then caliper is not going to be accurate. So then they'd be looking at having to do something called the BOD pod, where it's expensive to find. You know, you're looking at more university laboratories that have a BOD pod where you sit in and it determines your body mass and what percentage is fat and muscle and bone by gas exchange. Or you're looking at something called DEXA, which is a machine that actually a lot of people use for assessing bone mass, but you can actually go to clinics now in various areas that will offer the opportunity to determine what you have that's muscle mass, what you have that bone and organs, and then what you have that's actual fat mass as well. And then there's the old tried and true from my university days that, you know, was the original gold standard, was hydrostatic weighing, where you'd hold your breath in a tank and go underneath in the physiology lab, and then we'd have to do all these little calculations to determine what your body fat was. That was not really convenient and easy for people, but something like DEXA, you're going to pay some money for to go get that done. And then there's also your traditional scales now that you do see in stores that are called bioelectrical impedance scales that people can step on, and they give you your body weight, but they also give you a body fat percentage. The only thing I often say about that that's a bit of a problem with some of those more commercial grade is if you're slightly dehydrated, it's going to read your body fat percentage a lot higher because water is a conductor for that electricity. So it's going to skew the readings. So accuracy is a little bit of a challenge with those ones.
What are some challenges that people face that make it hard to see results?
Well, first and foremost, I mean, definitely on the nutritional front, 80% is you are what you eat. And it really is about choosing the right foods, getting enough protein in the diet, making sure you're getting adequate vitamins and minerals, you know, eating non-processed foods, getting enough vegetables. This is with grocery stores and how they're laid out, it's such a challenge. And we have commercials facing us that are telling us, oh, you know, buy these 100-calorie cookie packs that are going to help you with losing weight. Well, those things might help with portion control, but they're not teaching people to understand how sugar is impacting their body and understand why they need more protein and how to get the healthy fats and the vegetables. So nutrition is definitely a big one to focus on. And then on the exercise front, it's making sure you're moving your body, but it's about doing what you love as well. I mean, when it comes down to it, I'm an absolute fan of getting people into doing weight training because that's going to get their most metabolic bang for their buck in terms of every pound of muscle you add, you're adding 50 calories your body can burn in the day. You're increasing the mitochondria in your body, which is accelerating that fat burning, and it's going to help with insulin sensitivity. So if someone is pre-diabetic or even moving into type 2 diabetes, it can turn back the clock on that and help them shed that fat as well. So that can be really huge. But for some reason, they're not going to be starting into weight training right away with some cardiovascular, then at least move the body. Sometimes it's a matter of starting small in your home, doing 5 or 10 minutes a day until you're establishing the habits and behaviors, because one of the barriers to success is absolutely that all or nothing mindset that we tend to think, okay, if I can't work out for 1 hour 4 to 5 days a week, or if I can't get to the gym each scheduled day, then there's no point in doing it. So they swing from that one spectrum to the other. The same with the eating. You know, if I'm not eating what they define as perfect by their own belief standards, so there's a psychology attached to this, they end up in the cookie jar, right? Yeah. Or you know, they're on the wrong end of the spectrum. Oh, I'll start Monday morning. I'll eat and enjoy all weekend and undo what they've done. That baby step sustainable progress requires a perception that it does need to be slow and steady. So that's where a big challenge often comes in for people. One of the other major barriers is, you know, not having a structure and having intentional goals in place to say, okay, I'm going to lose 10 pounds this month. This is where I'm at. I've taken my pictures. I've taken my measurements. I see where I'm at. I've told my friends and family, and I'm monitoring my progress through this month, and my goal is to be 8 pounds less. Or if they're doing the body fat and they do have access to the body fat, my goal is to have 4% less body fat, you know, reasonable goals that are attainable. But we also run into a lot of issues with the mindset, meaning the mental fortitude. In this day and age, we have so much on our table with careers and family and traffic jams and being plugged into phones and emails and all the time. People are chronically stressed, and lack of energy and lack of focus and motivation, like people just run out of the mental fuel to keep them going, and then they don't make it to the gym, or, you know, that healthy snack that they should have had ends up being something else because they find themselves craving something from that perspective. They're just tired and their brain is craving that sugar energy. So that's another factor that can definitely make it an absolute challenge to be successful.
Tammy, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, there's a supplement that you're very well versed on, and that's called Mega Burn. And we'll pick up there.